For some time now, we have been looking at the question, why do we ask and not receive? Why do we ask and not receive? We have looked at scriptures. Scriptures tell us clearly that God desires to answer prayers. He's a God who has given us assurances that whosoever asks will receive, whosoever seeks will find, and that whosoever knocks unto him, the door will open. Indeed, in Jeremiah 33 verse 3 said, ask of me and I will tell you wondrous things. I'm going to reveal to you things that men have not heard. But I'm sure that there are many of us here today who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but who are becoming frustrated because they are yet to receive answers to some of their prayers. And so we want to proffer reasons, possibilities, why you may be asking God something and you are not receiving the answers. I'm going to rush through the first 9 that I have here so that we can start with a few more before we end the exhortation. The first reason is that there is a set time for everything, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't know how to wait for the set time. They are too much in a hurry and they cannot wait for God's timing. But I want to guarantee you that whatever it is you are asking the Almighty God, when it is time, note that, when it is time, definitely He will give you the answer to the petition you have requested of Him. A second reason why it is possible that you are praying and you are not getting the answer that you should get is because you are asking amiss. In James chapter 4 verse 3, the Bible makes us understand that we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. We ask because we want to consume these things on our pleasure. Whenever we are asking for selfish reasons, it is very unlikely that God will answer. In 1 John 5:14-15, the Bible makes it clear. It says if we ask anything, that we have a confidence that if we ask anything according to the will of God, He hears us. And that if He hears, then we know that we have the petition. I think one of the problems that we are having is that God is not hearing our prayers. And that's because we are asking amiss. But by the grace of God, all of that will be directed aright in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A third reason we have given is that many of us are not abiding in the true vine. There is no way you will find a branch of a tree that is going to be different from the rest of the tree, because the life of that branch is derived from the stem or the trunk of the tree. And so our true vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says to us that we are the branches. Now there's no way the branch will bear fruit except it's receiving life from the vine. There's no way the branch will be attached to the vine and not receive the life of the vine. Now there's no way also you will have the life of the vine and not ask according to the will of God. It's not possible. So one of the real reasons why many prayers go unanswered is because we are not attached to the vine. Following from that is the fact that a lot of us see God as one who comes to visit us. So a number of times we invite Him to visit us at home. Whereas what God desires of His children is that He will make them a habitation. In other words, a place where He will dwell. I think we mentioned last week that if indeed God were living in the same house with you, there are many things that you are doing that you will not be able to do. Those of you who are married will not, the quarrels you are quarreling will be irrelevant, because you will not be able to do that because you know that God is there. But when you have the mentality of a visitation, you can go ahead and do whatever you want to do because, well, He comes to visit. Like I mentioned last week, you can keep your brandy in a closet, in a cupboard, and then entertain God in the sitting room. And after He has gone, you go back to your closet and bring out your brandy. But indeed, if He were habiting you, if you were conscious of the fact that He is your habitation, then there are many practices that you will not do. When you are abiding in the true vine, you will ask and you will get answers. Let me just read that scripture. John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. What you need is to abide in the Lord, and He will do what He wants to do in your life. If you step further in John chapter 15, verse 16, John 15, 16, it reads, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." It is possible that many of us are not bearing fruit. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you say that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, you should be a fruit bearer. Now, there are two kinds of fruit that the Christian bears. There's the internal fruit, which translates to the fruit of the Spirit, or the nature or the character of God. And then there's the external fruit, which is when we go to preach outside, evangelize, and bring people into the kingdom of God. Now, sadly, what we concentrate on when we talk of fruit bearing is the second one, which is inviting people to church. Whereas what is crucial to God is the internal fruit. That is, you're having the nature of God in you. You're having the character of God in you. You're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. There is no way you will be a bearer of the fruit of the Spirit and not be living as God wants you to live. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm trying to say here. If you invited somebody to church and you are living like Satan, there is no way that person will be able to stay in the church, because there is no difference between you and what he has been experiencing in the world. But if he sees the nature, the true nature of God in you, and then he comes, he is going to begin to make adjustments as is necessary. I tell you a story. There was a lady, a young lady, she was a believer, and she was serving God. Then two young believers came into church, two young ladies. And they saw this lady and envied her that, wow, how can we be, look at a young lady like us. She doesn't dress anyhow, she dresses nicely, she's decent, she's everything. We want to copy this girl. So they were praying for the end of the month when they collect their salary, so they can go and make new dresses that will mirror this lady. Unknown to them, the lady was envious of them. That, why can't I dress like this? So, one Sunday, the lady came to church, dressed like them. They went to meet the lady, said, "Sister, we have been trying to be like you, and you want to be like us. I don't think you know where we are coming from. Where every Tom, Dick, and Harry will stop and touch your body and do anything just because of the way we are dressed. Why did you change?" I pray that we will learn our lessons. What we need to do is to focus on bearing internal fruit. When we bear internal fruit, do you know that there are people who, just because you are bearing that internal fruit, will be asking you, "Which church do you fellowship in? Let me follow you to church." Sometimes you not even need to open your mouth before they invite themselves to church with you. But when you are speaking like them, when you are talking like them, the same things they are trying to run away from, you cannot bear fruit. And if you are not bearing fruit, it means that God cannot answer your prayers. Number five. Fifth reason why it is possible that you are praying and God is not answering your prayer is because there are many of us who are unable to endure the wait for God. There was a time when we started as young believers. We gave up so many things in the pursuit of God, in the service of God. But then, as we began to grow in God, we failed to realize that when a baby is small, before the baby says, "Nah," they have put feeding bottle in the mouth of the baby. But as he grows older and older and older, he has to wait for food to be prepared from the kitchen and brought out. Now, there are many of us who have matured and we still want God to deal with us as though we are babies. I'm not sure there's anybody here who will be happy to see his 16-year-old son or daughter wearing diapers and shouting, "Mommy, I want milk." How many of you would be happy to have a child like that? Definitely God is not happy with something like that. And so, God expects us, as we mature, to be able to endure, to be able to wait, to be able to wait. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it's somewhere around verse 35 or 36 or so. It says, we should not throw away our confidence, which we had at the beginning. That after we have done all, we still need patience, so that we can receive that which we have asked for. Brethren, we need to be able to endure. Many of us are devising alternatives. And I want to guarantee you one thing. There is no real alternative to God. God is the ultimate. And if you don't have him, any other alternative you have is a copy. and a very poor copy for that matter. It's a very, very bad copy that you have. The Lord will help us to endure in Jesus' name. Amen. A sixth possibility why you are praying and your prayers are not being answered is because you have an idol in your heart. Somebody will say, me, an idol? The answer is yes. Many of us already know what we want before we go to ask God. God is not looking for people who already know what they want. God is looking for people who would ask Him what He wants to give them. So we come with an idol in our hearts. I find that a lot amongst those who want to get married, those who want to do one business or the other. They're not ready to wait for God. Even those who want to start a ministry, they're not ready to wait for God. They just make up their minds on what they want to do and then take the matter to God and say, bless it. And God says, if you come to me with an idol in your heart, I will answer you according to the idol that you have formed in your heart. When Esther was going to present herself before the king, usually the young ladies would go and ask for whatever they desire to take before the king. But when it was Esther's turn to go, she didn't ask for anything. Rather, she asked the person who was taking care of her and said, what do you think I should take to the king? And it was what they gave her that she took. And she was chosen as the queen. Today we have a eunuch who is taking care of us. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 verse 26. It says, when you first pray, but we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities by praying through us with words that cannot be uttered according to the will of God. And when the Holy Spirit is praying through you, you cannot but have answers to your, because He is praying the will of God. It's a very interesting thing that amongst believers, we love to pray in our understanding rather than in the Spirit. And it is in the Spirit that we receive everything that God wants to give to us. But we will rather pray, Lord, that contract that they advertise in so and so paper, and I've heard pastors who say, be specific. What if God is not interested in the contract they advertised in Daily Times? What if God is interested in something completely ridiculous? It is as you pray in the Spirit that your spirit is energized to partner with the Spirit of God. Not only to pray to God, but also to receive the answer and to accept it. There are many of us, when God is talking to us about what He wants to do in our lives, we say, I reject it. I reject it. What are you rejecting? What God wants to give to you? Many of us have called God Satan, because what God is asking, what God wants to do for you, is contrary to what you want. And so you say, Satan, get away from here. It's not Satan, it's God who is telling you the path you should toe in life. So there are many of us who come to God with idols formed in our hearts. And there's no way God is going to answer you when you have an idol. If He ever answers you, it is going to be in accordance with the idol. In fact, so many of us we find it very difficult to accept God's will when we go and pray a wrong prayer. And God is saying, don't pray that prayer, pray this way. It's as if, oh Lord, I've started, I can't stop. You know, sometimes you are praying and God says, that is not the prayer you should pray. Change it to this. You say, I remember a friend of mine who shared with me. One day he said he was praying, and the prayer was not really a prayer, it was a complaint. And he was complaining to God, you have done this for this person, you have done this for this person, you have not done anything for me, and this, that. And he heard the Spirit of God say to him, stop this, you are complaining, start thanking me. He said, no, I'm not going to thank you. And he began to quote scripture. David complained, you answered him. This person complained, you answered him. That person complained. And he heard God again say, I say, thank me. He said, no, I'm going to complain. Jehoshaphat complained, you answered him. This person complained. We know the Bible more than God. As he was doing that, some 10, 15 minutes later, his wife called him. He picked the phone and the wife said, my dear, thank God for me. Say, what happened? This was in America. It had snowed a little bit. What they call silt or slit or something. It's very slippery. She said, do you know that the steering wheel just went off my hand? The car just began to turn and turn and turn. But thank God. And she was on a bridge. The car didn't fly off the bridge. The car didn't hit any car. The way it spinned and spinned and spinned, it just went back to the road as though it never spun. It didn't touch any car. It didn't touch any, with the traffic and everything. He said, thank God for you. When she dropped the phone, God said, please continue with your complaint. Say you want to complain. Do you see, we don't understand. God was telling him to thank God, not because God did not think what he was doing was real, but there was a pressing need, which he couldn't see. But he was so self-centered. May the Lord help us from the idols that we have built in our hearts. The seventh reason why it is possible that I'm rushing these ones because we have some new ones to take on. This first nine we have already discussed before now, so I'm just rushing them. The seventh reason why it is possible that our prayers are not being answered is many of us are not asking God in faith. Whenever we ask God, we ask doubting. Is it God? Is it not God? Is it possible? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've been nodding your head because that's how you pray. We don't know for sure. Is this God? Can this be God? Sometimes we have finished a hot prayer in church or even amongst your friends. You have prayed and prayed. You know definitely that you got something. Then you say, Amen, Amen. Satan now comes and says, are you sure? And you entertain Satan. He says, true. Will God answer that? Does God answer like that? This, that? You have, all Satan needs to do is introduce doubt. In James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. I'll just read that very quickly. The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask how? In faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. When you have risen up from the place of prayer, there must be an assurance in your spirit. If you are not assured, then remain in that place of prayer until the burden lifts, until the assurance comes. Then step out in faith and do not waver. Now, let me tell you something about the matter of faith. Every time you receive an answer from God by faith, as soon as you step out, everything you are going to see will be contrary to what God told you. You are not to waver. You are to be resolute on what God said. The Bible says, we walk not by sight, but by what? Faith. We don't walk based on what the news that people are telling us, contrary to what God has said. We don't believe what we see with our eyes that is contrary to what God has said. We hold on to what God has said. The minute you begin to entertain that doubt, you are scattering the whole thing. It's as though a man built a house, and then when it comes to doubting, he used his hand again and scattered the thing that he built. That's what has happened. If you go further down, in verse 7 to 8 of James chapter 1, it says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive what? Anything from the Lord. He is what? A double-minded man, unstable in how many of his ways? All. That brings us to the eighth reason. We are double-minded. We have not been able to stand on one thing. Somebody will come and say, God told me to sell spare parts. Let me use that example. God told me to sell spare parts. After a few months, spare parts is not moving. What does he do? He closes down spare parts and moves on to do something else. And then you ask him, bro, you said God told you. He said, so what happened? It's not moving now. That's a double-minded man. It's not about whether it's moving or not. You don't even know why God told you to set up the spare parts. Because we are so selfish, we never see what God wants us to do. What God wants to do. For example, is amongst us Africans, where there's so much pride and arrogance about the kind of things that you can do. There's no dignity in labor. So if God were to give somebody a street cleaning job now, you see him hiding. Meanwhile, by cleaning the streets, you don't know whether God wants to bring you in contact with some people through whom you will share the word of God. But we have a church system these days that focuses only on your blessing. You bless, you bless, you bless, you be blessed, you bless, you be blessed. What of the other people? They don't deserve the blessings of God. How did you come to be saved if people did not pray you into the kingdom? How come our prayers are now so self-centered and so selfish? So there's a double-mindedness amongst many people. They oscillate between opinions. Even after they pray, is it this, is that? Is it this, is that? You ask a brother, brother, are you praying about marriage? Say, yes, I'm praying about marriage. Say, who? Say, I think it's a patient. But sometimes I see Elizabeth. And at other times, I see Mary. What kind of human being is this? How many women do you want to marry? You want to be a polygamist? Go and pray. And let's hear from you, one person. Maybe the next time he went to prayer, as soon as he came out of the prayer room, he saw Mary. He didn't like Mary. He said, Pastor, I think it's Elizabeth or patience. Okay, go and pray again. Then he comes out. He doesn't like patience again. But somehow, is it Mary? I said, he didn't like that. Mary did something that he liked. And I said, Pastor, I'm not sure of patience again. I think it's Mary and Elizabeth. What kind of human being is that? And we have people like that. A brother says, Pastor, God told me this is my wife. 6 weeks later, I didn't hear well. Is this other person? I didn't hear well. Is this other person? What are you trying to do? Let's be resolute. Let's be resolved. The Bible tells us concerning Abraham that even though he was 99 years old, He trusted God, who called the things that be not as though they not are in the past. You see, whenever God speaks, the matter is already done. Now, whether it manifests is a different matter. But as long as you have spoken it, it's done. But when it is translated to us on here, at the time it will come, is a different matter entirely. But once God has spoken, it's spoken. It may take time. So all you need to do is endure the wait. Stop being double-minded. Start being single-minded. Start being focused on God. And you will begin to see the joy of answers to your prayers. And I'll take the ninth one now. In Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2, Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he will not answer you. Neither are his ears heavy that he will not hear you. That is, God is not deaf and God is not weak. But, he said, your sins have separated you from your God. Your iniquities have separated from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. So that what? He will not hear. Is that in your Bible? In Psalm 66 verse 18, Psalm 66 verse 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Every unconfessed sin is an unforgiven sin. And any unforgiven sin is a very living sin. Let's assume you committed an offense 50 years ago and you have not confessed it to God 50 years after. Before God, it's as though you committed that sin today. Because it's unconfessed. It is alive and is festering. In fact, it is growing. That is why you find that if you're a believer, the minute you sin, the minute you do anything, there's going to be that nudge in you to immediately confess it. Because that is the Spirit of God telling you, do it now. If you wait, you will forget. And Satan will make sure that he doesn't remind you. You will remember every other thing except that one. An unconfessed sin is a problem in our lives. As long as there's unconfessed sin in your life, there is no way God is going to hear you. So it's either you must make sure that every time the Holy Spirit reminds you, prompts you concerning the matter of sin, you must immediately deal with it. Many people are ashamed. I remember once, I was a believer. We had some challenges in our office. It was the days of the financial crash. That was in 1993. And this young man came to our office, putting us under pressure. And we're trying to explain to him. And before I knew what was happening, That is me. I had just finished preaching that day in the morning fellowship, morning devotion of the office. I was in a fight with this man, fisticuffs over go. We began to fight. He too happened to be a believer. After that issue, I felt so sad. And as I was talking to the Holy Spirit, he said to me that, well, you are going to go and beg him. I felt humiliated because the reality is that he was the one who caused the thing. But God would not hear anything like that. I said, how can you be fighting? So I said, Lord, give me strength. I will do it. And as God will happen, the following day, the fellow came again. When he came, I walked up to him and said, I want to apologize. He said, I'm sorry too. And he embraced the peace that came into my heart. Sometimes we need to suffer humiliation in order to get the peace of God. Too many times, we are proud and arrogant. And the things that God wants to bring to us escapes us. We need to, you need to be humble to come to the place where you will confess your sin as soon as it is mentioned to you. Now we start with a new set of reasons. Starting with number 10, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, from verse 9 to 14. Luke chapter 18. From verse 9 to 14, I read. Also, he, that is Jesus, spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to pray, to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not other men. I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is the Lord's conclusion. I tell you, this man, that is the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. There are many Christians in the place of prayer, you will hear them say, I pay my tithes, I give offering, I'm serving you, I'm worshiping you, I am doing this, I am doing that. Why are you not answering me? Why are you not doing this? Can I inform you of one thing? The Bible says that you are saved by grace through faith. Even the faith itself is a gift from God, not of yourself. The very fact that you are saved and privileged to ask as a child of God is a gift. The Bible tells us, it asks a question, it says, what is it that we have that was not given to us? So if you are poor, allow God, just enjoy God in your poverty. And if you are wealthy, don't allow pride to enter into your head and think that it is because you have done something great. No. There are many people who don't understand that the money that God is giving to them is for them to be able to show kindness to other people. But they keep it to themselves and want to use it to oppress people. And the day is coming, a day of judgment, a day of reckoning is coming, when God will make a demand on them. Praise the name of the Lord. Many of us, this is the 10th reason why it is possible that our prayers are not being answered. Many of us ask in self-righteousness and arrogance. We ask in self-righteousness and arrogance. In John chapter 9, verse 39 to 41. John chapter 9, verse 39 through to 41. Jesus made a statement. For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, that is, if you admitted that you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin does what? Remains. The minute you go to God in arrogance, in self-righteousness, your sin remains. Every one of us go to God in humility. He's our Father, but we go in humility. I can't imagine anybody here who has a father that he respects, who will go and pull his father's shirt and say, do you know the result I got in school? I beg, buy me this. Would you do that? Even with the best result that you have in school, you will still wait on your father to do what he wants to do. You cannot force him to do anything. There's no arrogance when it comes to asking God for anything. We ask God for things in humility. And as we ask in humility, God hears us. The Bible tells us clearly that God regards the proud afar off, but he draws near to the humble. In other words, there is no way God will be near a man who is arrogant, a man who is proud. That Pharisee, whom we would liken to a religious man, was so proud and arrogant, God was not near him at all. Meanwhile, the tax collector that we would call a policeman, a tax collector, people who collect bribes, understood that he was a sinner. And the Bible says that he did not as much as look up to heaven, but he was beating his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me. And God heard that man and heard him and had mercy on him. Whereas the other fellow who was praying with so much arrogance and self-righteousness was not heard. We need to stop asking in arrogance and self-righteousness. Stop telling God what you are doing for him. If you understood what God has done for you, you will not even be able to say that you have done anything. I think there's a scripture where the Lord Jesus said, when you have finished serving, you should say, we have done our duty, we are unprofitable servants. That's what the Lord said. There's no chest beating. Oh, I've brought 200 people into the kingdom, therefore I must get this. No, go and ask Paul, to whom we still preach till today. We still preach from his writings till today. How did he die? He was beheaded. He could have stood and said, but I'm the foremost apostle to the Gentiles. Why should I die like that? I want to die differently. God is sovereign. Regardless of all, whether he's going to answer your prayer or not, God is still sovereign. And it is in his power. He said to Nebuchadnezzar, you are going to remain like, you are going to have the nature of a beast for 7 years. Until you come to realize that God rules in the affairs of men. Many of us will remain with the heart of beasts, with the heart of satanic forces, until we come to realize that God indeed rules and reigns in the affairs of men. No matter how high, no matter how low, God reigns in the affairs. Do you know that for the sake of one believer, God can move the United Nations to make a proclamation because of one believer? He did it in the ancient world. Because Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem, he caused the emperor in Rome to make a proclamation and asking people to return to where they came from so that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. Let's start asking God in humility, recognizing that we are but his servants. The 11th possibility why we are not receiving answers to our prayers In 1 John chapter 3 verse 22, 1 John chapter 3 verse 22, the Bible says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his." So I should ask a question, because that's the reason why your prayers are not being answered. He said, let me read it again. "And whatever we ask," what did he say? "We receive from him." Why? "Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So I ask a question. Are you keeping his commandments? One of the reasons why we don't get answers to our prayers is because we are not obeying God's command. We're not doing his word. We're not doing his instruction. Nor the things that please him. We'll rather do our own thing. We'll rather do the things that please us, but not the things that please God. Not what he says in his word. And it's a major problem in Christendom today. Is it any wonder that the church prays and we're not seeing the impact of the church anywhere in society? Because in most instances, over 90% of those in the church are not living according to the word of God. They are not keeping his commands. They are living in their own way. They are living as it pleases them. And God has no regard for such people. Because they've made it a point to dismiss God, as it were, with a wave of a hand, and choose to do their own thing. And then turn around and say, "God, well, you have to do this for me. Otherwise," in fact, some people have given God an ultimatum. I've heard of people who have told God, if I don't marry this fellow this year, that's it. I'm through with you. I heard the story of a lady who wanted to marry somebody who wasn't a Christian. And her friends were trying to dissuade her, but she would not have any of that dissuasion. So they stopped telling her anything. And so the friends resorted to prayer. They said, "Lord, we know that you know that what this girl wants to do is wrong. Please scatter this relationship." So one day the young man came and told the girl, I think we should break the engagement. The girl was so furious. She went to God in prayer and said, "Let me tell you something, oh God. This is the man I'm going to marry. There's nothing that anybody can do. That's the man I'm going to marry. If I don't marry him, I will stop serving you." God said, "No problem. I want you to serve me." So what happened? After a few months, the young man came back, crawled into the house, begged, and said, "Please, whatever you want me to do, I will do." The girl said, "You must be born again." "I'm ready to be born again." Whatever. The girl was happy. They got married. This young man went to church with this girl for the first year. In the second year, he stopped going to church. In the third year, he packed his bags and left the house. And then God said to her, "Remember the promise. If you marry him, you serve me for the rest of your life. Start serving." But God could have given her a man that both of them would have served God unto eternity. But she chose to give God ultimatum. I pray that we will learn from the mistakes of others and not make the same mistakes that others have made. The 12th possibility. Psalm 2 verse 8. Psalm 2 verse 8. "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession." Even though this is a prayer that is what we call a messianic prayer, that is a prayer that is referring to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also applicable to many of us. It's applicable to us. Imagine what God is promising here. He says, "I will give you the nations for your inheritance. I will give you the ends of the earth for your possession." There are continents that God wants to place in the hands of certain Christians. The Bible tells us that when the Lord Jesus returns in the millennial reign, that the 12 apostles, of course, excluding Judas Iscariot, including Paul, the 12 apostles will sit on thrones in Israel and reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. In the same way, when he returns in the millennial reign, there are believers who will sit over certain continents, over certain nations, over certain tribes, and will rule over them. I'm not so sure we will find them in our generation, because we are so self-centered, so self-seeking, that we don't ask God for the nations. We don't ask God for the ends of the earth for a possession. A possible reason why you're not getting answers for your prayers is you are not interceding for others. Intercession is something that is now non-existent in many churches. When we were young believers in the 90s, we didn't have prayers in the church. We had intercession. In fact, it was called intercessory prayers, where the fellow will come and begin to lead intercessory prayers. Today, if we say, "Let us pray for the nation of Egypt," you will think we are grumbling. Then if we say, "Let us pray that contract that has not..." Before I finish "not," what do you think will happen here? The entire... this house will fall down. because it concerns you. Many of us don't understand that God is not interested in your self-centered requests. I remember some years ago, in fact, 2009, we had just started this ministry at the time. It was our first night vigil, and everybody had come prepared for the man of God to demonstrate. When I was praying to God, God said to me, I have a need and I want them to pray for my needs. So I shared with them, I said, well, God says he has a need and he wants us to pray for his needs. Everybody looked at me as if I was a crazy fellow. When we have brought our needs, you are telling us to pray for another person's need. Needless to say that was one of the weakest prayer meetings I had the honor of presiding over. It was so weak that I wondered if anything happened. Nobody's interested in what God is interested in. In fact, I think it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Put that up for us. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2. No, sorry. Philippians chapter 2, 19. Philippians 2, 19. Put it up. Let's see. Yes. He said, this Paul writing to the Philippian church said, but I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Go to the next verse, please. Verse 20. For I have what? No man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. The next verse, please. For what? All. How many of them? All seek their own, not the things which are Christ's, which are Jesus Christ's. If God wants to send somebody now to a tribe in the northeast of Nigeria, we won't find them. Because even we who are Christians have developed a bitterness towards the Fulanis. So we won't even be available to God. I tell you a story. A medical doctor with a young wife and a child or so was traveling somewhere to South America to take medication, and then they will use the issue of taking drugs to these people to now witness to them. As they were going, their plane had difficulties. The plane crashed, but they survived. The villagers that they were going to help came to the place of the plane crash and killed the doctor and the pilot with a javelin. They pinned them down, killed them, and then took their possessions. 10 years after that, the widow of that doctor went to that same community with the gospel, knowing what they had done. Guess who our first convert was? The man who killed the husband. That was her most trusted disciple. Because she spent time praying for them, teaching them the word. What do we have today? Mary Slessor never got married to anybody. A young nurse left Scotland to come to the deep forests of Calabar with the gospel. Through her, communities were united. Through her, the killing of twins stopped. Can we point to any African that has gone elsewhere to do like that? When we go there, we want to live like kings. We can't go to some say, no, there's Zika virus in that place. No, we can't go. They don't have clean water there. We have suddenly become Ajebota Christians. And many of us come from hinterlands. We have drunken well water where mosquito lava is dancing inside. We drink it. But suddenly we are posing. We are not better than other people. Nobody's seeking the things of God. Everybody's seeking their own thing. Can I inform you that the day you start sowing into what God wants, and when I say sowing, I'm not talking of money, because that's what we do here. What we do in the church days to think of giving money. No. When I say sowing, I mean sowing in prayers. I mean sowing your life. I have prayers. Send your money on an errand. Yes. What of you going? But no. You say, hey, man of God, how are you? I remember one lady some years back. I was a young pastor then. She wanted to go for American visa. Meanwhile, before that time, we're doing a building construction in the church I was pastoring at the time. And we're begging people to bring money for church building. And the thing was so slow. Then one day, the lady came to see me in the house. She brought a fat envelope and knelt down before me. Those, I think, what was the highest currency then? Was it 100 naira or 50 naira? So it was a bulky thing. 50,000 was a lot of money. She brought 50,000 naira. Big envelope and dropped it. I said, she wants to go for visa interview. This was somebody that didn't bring money when we're building a church. But because she wants to go for a visa interview, she brought 50,000. So I told her to kneel down. She knelt down. I said, Father, well, she has brought something to you. Please, let your will be done. If she is not to travel, don't give her the visa. If she's to travel, give her the visa. Go. If they give you the visa, then you should travel. If they don't give you the visa, you're not supposed to travel. She went and they bounced her. She was so sad. But she didn't come to church for 2 weeks. Was it 2 weeks? Or even a month. She wasn't in church. Then one day, her sister now told me that, thank God she didn't travel, though. That, do you know that she was actually traveling to go and get married to her fiancé in America. So when she now called the fiancé to tell the fiancé that they didn't give her visa, it was a lady that picked the phone. And in the course of the conversation, she discovered that the so-called fiancé, that was his wife. So when she finally braced up to come to church, I said, my sister, do you think my prayer was rubbish or was it? She said, would you have preferred to go there and see it or know from here? See, we don't understand God. Even when God is helping us, we are there quarreling with God, behaving as if God hates us, whereas God loves us. Beloved, I'm going to stop here. It is time for us to forget about our needs and start interceding for other people. Let me share a scripture with you. Matthew chapter 11. I believe it is Matthew chapter 11. In chapter 10, the Lord Jesus sent his disciples out two by two into every city. And then he told them how they should go ahead and do that. In chapter 11 verse 1, the Bible says, now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and preach where? In whose cities, please? The cities. Where did he send disciples to? To other cities. And then he now went to their own city to preach. What is the lesson here? When you do what God says you should do, God will do your own. There are a number of times that you don't need to be praying the prayers that you are praying. You get into the place of intercession and God will raise intercessors on your own behalf. But they wake you up at night. Ah, you say, oh, and you know that it's God who woke you up. So I want to sleep. I want to sleep. You shake, and then you sleep. Then God will wake somebody else. You say, eh? God, thank you. With that alarm clock, you wake me up. Let us pray. Okay, I'm okay. What do you want me to pray about? And the fellow will wake up at 2 o'clock and pray till 6. Meanwhile, you are there rolling like a door that is hinged to one place. Rolling up and down. Then you get up and say, yes, Father, I just give you glory, I give you praise. Oh, thank you for a well-rested night. Like the Lord told Peter and the others, when after going to them, say, get up and pray. Pray that you fall not into temptation. Watch and pray. After he came back the third time, he said, sleep on. Continue to sleep. You are heavy with you. Come, continue. The betrayer is at the door. That same night, what happened to Peter? He denied the Lord thrice. That same, in fact, with curse. Say, God, punish me if I know him. But they were asking him to pray so as to avoid that. But he didn't pray. Thank God that the Lord Jesus prayed for him. Otherwise, he would have gone. It is time for us to change our ways. Now, before we get into praying, I want to address a few people who may be here today. I am sure that it is strange to many of us when they say, come to church. One of the reasons why we are invited to church is not so that you come and look at the pastor, but so that you can hear the word of God. The Bible makes it absolutely clear that there can be no salvation when the word of God has not first been heard. Now, after the word of God has been heard, then the Holy Spirit will begin to nudge you in your heart and begin to say to you, like I was talking, he will say to you, you are the one I'm talking to. It's not a man that is speaking. It's me speaking to you. This is what I want you to do. Now, when you get to that place where you come to the realization that you have been far away from God, and you admit it. You see, that is all God requires. You admit that indeed I am far away from God. And I need to come to God again. When you get to that place of realization, then help from above will come. The Holy Spirit will suddenly help you and move you to the place where you receive salvation. I'm going to tell you what happened to me many years ago. I was invited to a breakfast meeting in a hotel in 1991. I wasn't very much a friend of Christians, but I went because I was invited. When I got there, they were doing praise and worship. I was such a wild young man. When they came to meet me to get up and praise, I told them, if they don't get out of here, that the beating I'm going to give them. These are the people who were doing church. So they left me alone and quietly went to stay in their place. Then they preached the message. And it was time for one to surrender one's life to Jesus. Of course, I was upset with the whole world at the time. But something happened. The Spirit of God came into me that day and helped me. And when they asked those who want to surrender their lives to come forward, I found my entire body rising up against my own will because God was helping me. And I found my body moving to the front of the altar to surrender my life to Jesus. When I got to the front of the altar, whilst others were praying, I wasn't praying. I began to speak to a voice. It was the voice of God. By that time, it was just like any voice. I said, what am I doing here? And I heard the voice say to me, I'm the one that has brought you here. But if you want, you can turn back and go. And I found myself saying to that voice, from this spot that I am never going back again. And the moment I made that statement, I had a challenge in those days. I was an alcoholic. You wake me up in the morning, unless there is alcohol, I'm not normal. But that day, something left my body. And I knew that something left my body. It was the demon of alcohol. I was not only saved, I was totally delivered and cleansed. This evening, or this afternoon rather, there's an opportunity for you to receive the fullness of what God has for any one of his children. One of the things that the believer has that many people don't understand is the joy of asking and receiving. A sinner cannot expect to ask God for anything and receive from God. The only prayer that a sinner can pray and be heard is, Lord, forgive me, I am a sinner. That God will hear. And then God will come round and reach out to that person with his salvation. So if you are here today and you have never at any time surrendered your life to Christ, or you have been born again before but you are backsliding, you are living as you want to, God is giving you an opportunity today to return to him. Let's bow our heads to pray. We have given you reasons why you may be asking and not receiving answers to your prayers. As it concerns you, talk to God. But if you are here, you are not born again, or you are backsliding, and you want to return to God, don't waste your time praying all these prayers. There is only one prayer for you. Your prayer is, Father, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Save my soul. That's all you need to pray. But those of us who are believers, standing, you're following God, and you're having challenges in your prayers, your prayer life, recognize the things that we have mentioned, the 12 things that we have mentioned. Maybe you're not interceding for others. You need to intercede for others. Maybe you're not obeying God's word. You're not living for God. You're living to please yourself. Then turn. Make up your mind. Turn to God and say, Lord, I will change. I will change. Maybe you have been asking in self-righteousness. And you have been asking in arrogance. It is time to talk to God and say, Lord, please, I come humbly before you. Have mercy on me. Maybe it's a matter of confessing. Then go ahead and confess your sins before the Almighty God. Or that you are double-minded. It's time to be single-minded. Or you have been asking, not in faith, but on your own. You have been asking, doubting. It is time to start asking in faith. Or you have been asking with an idol in your heart. It's time to dismiss all such idols from your heart and face up to God himself and say, Lord, hear me. I am coming to you today. Or perhaps it is a matter that is a matter of your inability to endure the wait for God. It's time to say, Lord, help me to be patient. Help me to endure waiting. Or that you are not bearing fruit, then ask the Lord to help you to be a fruit bearer. Or maybe you are not abiding in the true vine, in the Lord Jesus. Maybe you are not making him your habitation. Then it's time to say, Lord, come and be my habitation. Come and indwell me. Or you have been asking amiss. It's time to say, Lord, I want to start asking aright. Or perhaps for you it's not the set time. Tell the Lord, Lord, help me to wait for the set time. But if your matter is the fact that you are yet to give your life to Christ, you are yet to be born again, or you are backslidden and you want to return to God, then your prayer is a very simple prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Forgive me. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Make me whole again and save my soul. Talk to God. Talk to God. If your prayer is the prayer of God having mercy on you, recognizing that you're a sinner and you want God to come and save your soul, I actually want to pray for you today. That's the first set of people I want to pray for right away. What I'll ask you to do right now for me is, if you pray that prayer asking God to come and save your soul, stand up wherever you are. Just stand up where you are. Stand up where you are, and I'm going to pray with you. Do that very quickly, please. Very, very quickly. I'm waiting. Just very quickly, just stand up where you are. That you have said, Lord, come and save my soul. Come and help me. I have backslidden. I've gone away from you. Come and save me. Stand up wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. I give you all the praise, I give you all the glory, all honor, all adoration unto you. Have your way, Lord, in our lives. Let's talk to the Lord. A prayer of repentance. Let's ask the Lord to forgive us of all that we have been doing contrary to him. of our self-centeredness, of our lack of faith in Him, of our lack of trust of Him. Let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I'd like us to stand to our feet at this time. And we will want to spend the next few minutes praying. Because I believe that once a man has made his way right with God, he is in a place where God will hear him when he cries to God. So whatever that situation is in your life, this is the time to go to God in prayer and talk to him now. So go ahead now and ask that you might receive. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened unto him. So let us ask. Ask in faith, doubting nothing. Ask, holding on to God. Ask, recognizing the sovereignty of God. Ask, knowing that God has his own needs also. I might ask you to pray for his needs. But ask, ask, ask. That your joy might be full. Ask today. Ask today. Oh Father, help us. Almighty and everlasting God, there are many needs in this place. King of glory, hear your children, hear your people, and meet them at the point of need. Let their coming here today not be in vain. Let there be purpose to their coming here. Let there be fulfillment in their lives. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.